thanks for coming. Appreciate you being in my room today. If you don't know me, I'm David Richter. I own Simple CFO, and how many have read Profit First, any version of it? Or how many have heard of Profit First? Anyone heard of it? Yeah? I did write the real estate investing version, because that's my background. I'll talk about that literally in the next slide here. But I want to, if you're in this room, you want to be a business, a better business owner. And think of yourself like a CEO. I don't care if you have one deal going or you've got 1,000 deals going. We need to think like a CEO, like someone who's running a business. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. And a real big piece of that is the number side. And a lot of people don't just have a good grasp on that. We're really good at making the money, but where's it all going? That's exactly where I was back in the day. My background is real estate investing. I've been part of about 850 deals at this point between wholesale, fix and flip, turnkey, rentals, lease options, seller finance, all the things. And I was part of a company. I started my real estate career really early, in my very early 20s, and we were doing about 5 deals a month wholesale, and we scaled that up to about 25 deals a month between the wholesale and all the different types of exit strategies that I just mentioned, which sounds like a lot of deals, but we were spending 26 worth of deals out the door. So who cares if you're doing 300 deals a year if you're not keeping any of the money? That's exactly how we felt. That's why literally on all my flyers and everything, it's like, if you make money and feel broke, I understand. Like, we were doing so many deals, so many of those things, but it's not just the big level. I've seen that. I actually know, I wish I had a better ending to that story, but we actually had to move from there, and like, that company blew apart. It wasn't a great ending. I'm still friends with those people. A lot of those people taught me a lot. That's where I learned how to read a profit and loss, a balance sheet. Like, I got some of that knowledge there, but I also got some knowledge on what not to do as a real estate investor, as a business owner. I moved across the country, started to live in the Richmond, Virginia area, and worked with an investor there, and he was doing maybe 10 deals a year. So not 300 deals, but 10 deals in the exact same situation that I just left. Making money, has no idea where it's going, doesn't feel like he's getting paid anything. I mean, I saw this now on a very large scale at 300 deals a year and at 10 deals a year. I'm like, I think this is probably an epidemic. I was also going to real estate masterminds at that time, some of the ones where people are doing like 300 deals a year. And they'd all say like, yeah, they'd beat their chest and they'd be like, yeah, we're doing all these deals. But then you get them one-on-one later and we'd start telling our story about where we were, and then they'd open up and like, oh yeah, we're not actually making anything. I wish I knew where all that money was going. It's like, I saw this. So that was encouraging and discouraging at the same time. Encouraging because we weren't the only ones, but discouraging because so many people were in that position. I'm like, what is going on? So when I went to Virginia and saw that guy in that exact same place, I said, before we do anything else, we have to figure out what the heck is going on with your money. Like, let's get this cleaned up and let's get you some clarity. And through some of the things I'm going to talk about today, I'll tell you the reason why I even started this whole mission, why I sunk 6 figures into writing a book, why I did all of that was to be able to get this message out. So that way, if you're making money, you can keep more of it. You build a business. Like, has anyone played the cash flow game? Cash flow 101? I don't want you living in that real estate rat race there. The same thing that a lot of people end up living in. You're just literally going around in that circle, living from green space to green space, like we were doing. I want you to get out of that vicious cycle and build a business that you really want. I will say here, too, you can barely see it, but I actually have cash flow in the background there. Your industry does not equal the game you're playing. We thought doing 25 deals a month put us in the real estate game, right? That's what we were doing. And even the guy doing 10 deals a year, you know, he thought he was doing real estate. Anyone in this room, how many have actually completed a real estate transaction? At least one. Most people in here. A lot of us in here would think of ourselves as real estate investors. 2 shifts in mindset I want to help you with. Number 1, you're a business owner. Number 2, you're not playing the real estate game. Real estate is a vehicle for what? To get to the money. We're all playing the money game. I don't care if you still have a W-2 job and you're still in real estate or if you're in real estate full time. This is literally the vehicle to get to the money. But we're never taught that, are we? I've had so many people stop by the booth because we're giving away a cash flow game. And they're like, man, I wish this stuff was taught in schools, or I wish I would have got this in high school or college or somewhere. So that's what I want to help with. So your industry is not the game we're playing. Here's some common pitfalls that I've seen too in the real estate world. And honestly, this is not just real estate. Now that we've worked with now over 500 different companies, probably 400 of those were in the real estate world. So I've seen this outside in the other entrepreneur spaces too. These are just common pitfalls for all businesses. Number one, we are not taught how to scale properly. We love that buzzword, right? We want to scale. We want to grow. A lot of us think that growth equals success. And a lot of people end up finding success, but not happiness. You know, like we get out there and we grow. That's literally what we did. We scaled ourselves into oblivion. We went from 5 deals a month to 25 deals a month and said, whoops, what did we just do? I do not want you to get there. I want to teach you some of the core principles of scaling properly today and building a business. If you even want to do one more deal, like how can we be better at that next deal than we were at the last one? Here's another common one. We think that by growth and filling the bucket faster means that we'll retain more. That's what we were doing. We were trying to stuff the bucket as fast as possible, turn on that faucet, and the more deals we did, the more money we lost. So I don't want to just teach you how to cover up the holes with Band-Aids today either. I want to like teach you how to build a better bucket. Like building that business that's a stainless steel bucket versus just a pail there that's got all the holes poked in it. So that's another big one that I see. I was at an event recently too. I loved this definition between growth and scale. Growth is when you just focus on the top line revenue and the bottom line there is non-existent. But if you scale, you're scaling both at the same time. You're scaling top line and bottom line, meaning you make money and you keep money. That's what I want to give you that skill today. How about this one? You're wearing a lot of hats in your business right now? Marketing, sales, acquisitions, finance, operations, like getting all of it done. Even if you're doing one deal and you've just got a rental and you're just buying and holding, and it's like, well, are you the property manager too? Or do you manage the property manager? Like that's part of that operational side of a rental. It's like there's so many different hats that we wear all the time. Usually the finance hat, though, is the one we want to take off and burn. Like, we don't love the finances usually as a business owner, real estate investor, whatever moniker you're putting on right now. How about this one? You got that shoebox full of receipts for your accountant at the end of the year? Do you have maybe not even a shoebox full of receipts? Like, whoops, I should have been tracking that stuff sometime. This is another big one that I see, is just that we abdicate our responsibility and just say, hey, you take this and run with it, Mr. or Ms. Bookkeeper, and I'm just going to go do deals. I'm going to focus on this, and then you could just sort it out at the end of the year. Which, if you're wanting to build a business that serves you, that is not the way to do it, right? That is not how to get... He even said it up here, Jerry, when he was up here. He's like, if you don't know what you're doing, like, how can you even know where the starting point is? A man I admire greatly, his name is Keith Cunningham. He's a business coach and author. He said, if you don't have a scoreboard, you don't know the score. Like, and in business, that scoreboard is not just the money in your account, but it's also like, are you healthy as a business owner? Do you know if you are going to do another deal, if that deal is going to put more money in your pocket, or is it going to take more out? A lot of business owners just don't have those simple steps. How about this one? Have you ever had a CPA or bookkeeper look down on you and say, you don't know that? Or like talking to you like this over your head or talking down to you? I will say that is a huge reason why I even started what I started, because I had that happen to me. One of the very first questions I asked the CPA when I sat down, I was like 24 and learning about the profit and loss and the balance sheet. So I saw that they would send us, you know, the profit and loss. And then I heard someone, I never saw it written down, but someone said P&L. So I asked the accountant, what's the N stand for? Like P&L? I thought it was an N in the middle, not an and symbol. And he's like, it's profit and loss. He's like, and I just remember that conversation, and I just felt like that big, like when he was talking to me. I'm like, I've never heard of this stuff. And it's just like, I don't want you to be there either, where you can't approach someone and talk about what you need to talk through on the financial end. How about this one? Who in here identifies as a problem solver? That you would say, yeah, heck yeah, I solve problems all day long. I'm Mr. and Ms. Entrepreneur. A lot of us, though, we love to say we're problem solvers, but are we solving the right problems in our business? A lot of times, you know why I fully endorse, like, some people have been, I've heard people talk about, like, the EOS, the book Traction, and that system for your operations. If you don't know that book, I'd highly recommend it. But for the operations, getting, you know, a structure in place, and also Profit First is a system for your cash. And a lot of people think that's the end-all, be-all. Like, once I get a structure in place, then I'll feel like a real business. Well, the structure doesn't solve the problem. You do. The structure, though, gets you to solve the right problem. Because right now, let's just say a typical business owner has one big bank account. All the money goes in there. And it's like, if there's money there, we don't feel like there's a problem. If there's not money there, then we're like, what's the problem? And then we start going off on a tangent. But are we solving the real issue? But we don't have any clarity when it comes to that stuff. That's what I want to help with a little bit as well today. So saying all that, this is how to really build the business you want. I'm going to take this first slide here from a book that I highly also recommend. It's called Fix This Next by Mike Michalowicz. If you can't see it, this is called The Business Hierarchy of Needs. Has anyone heard of Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs? A lot of us have. This is a great room, right? When everyone in there is shaking their head on that part. This is the business hierarchy of needs. The same guy that wrote the original Profit First, so I had to approach him and get, that's a whole nother story of how I wrote Profit First for real estate investing. But he also wrote a book that I highly recommend called Fix This Next, meaning this is the hierarchy of needs in a business. You need sales. Even the Profit First formula is sales minus profit equals expenses, meaning I make a sale, I take my profit off the table, and the expenses are there to grow the business. Well, you need sales. That's the creation of cash. So you got to make the money. Everyone that I've seen out there that has business struggles usually goes from sales to order, meaning they make sales and they invest in the structure, or they hire someone or a virtual assistant or whatever it is next. But they skip step number two, profit. That is the creation of stability. This is where the mindset that permeates our culture of just scale at all costs. If we grow, we can grow out of this situation. If we just get more deals in the door. That's skipping from sales to trying to get order of where, if I just make enough sales, I can hire enough people, or I can have enough systems and processes in place that I'll be okay. But they miss profit. That's where you have to create stability in your business. So that's what we're going to be talking about. How to build the business you want is not skipping this step. And I want to teach you today the thought process of thinking like a CEO and what to think about, especially from the numbers and profitability point of view. So are we all on board with that? We want to learn this stuff? Okay. I appreciate it. This is a lot of people. If you didn't get a meal ticket, maybe I'll... Who didn't get a meal ticket and is in here right now? I got a lot of people. Maybe see me afterwards. I'll DoorDash or something. I feel bad for you. Thank you for being here. This is awesome. So here we go. Let's keep it going. If it will go. I believe there is a secret weapon of business, and this is why I started Simple CFO. The secret weapon of business, there's a person on the team that can help, but I want to give you the CEO mindset behind this, because if you can't work with us as a fractional CFO, spoiler alert, it's a fractional CFO. If you can't work with us, I want to give you the mindset. Here's the things to ask yourself. If you're not ready to engage us, here's the things you can at least start with, okay? And then if you just say, hey, I want this off my plate and you need to manage it, then come talk to me or scan the thing at the end. A lot of people in their business have a lot of rearview mirror facing stuff. And it's usually a dirty rearview mirror. You know why? Because they have a bookkeeper or CPA that looks at their numbers or puts in the data. A lot of times it's wrong because they don't have a real estate investing person who actually knows what the heck they're doing on the number side. That's a whole different issue. But then even if you're getting what you need from a bookkeeper or CPA, how are you turning that into how do I actually get profit in my pocket? A lot of people don't have that. What I want to give you is more of like the GPS of, okay, where am I? Where have I been? And how do I get to where I really want to go? So this is the types of confidence with the CFO mindset provides, and that I'm going to give you, that no matter if you have one or not, that this will help you as a business owner feel more like a business owner. Number one, clarity. This is probably the number one thing I hear from people. Once they actually understand the numbers, they feel like I've got the crystal clear vision into my business. That's the same thing as what I was saying. If you don't have a scoreboard, you don't know the score. Do we know how much we're making? What's going out the door? Where is it going? What is actually coming in and going out? This clarity, though, here's the key question. Do you run your business now by the numbers? Or is it the gut feeling? This house seems good. Or this house, you know, like I think I can squeeze some profit margin out of this thing. We got to the place, going back to my story, we were doing so many deals that we needed to keep up the appearance of doing a lot of deals, so a lot of deals would slip by without a healthy profit margin. But we weren't looking at the numbers religiously. And we even had bookkeepers on staff. And we had like a CPA and accountant. But no one was looking that forward facing. And if you're not running it by the numbers, I want to give you some tips here. Number one, you need to, for this one, measurement is the key to sustainability and a culture of accountability. A lot of people just don't measure anything. I do not want you to raise your hand for this. But do people actually have a bookkeeper or something in here? Are you running it by spreadsheets? If you don't have a spreadsheet, do you have the back of a napkin? Like, do you not have the back of a napkin? Then okay, like we have nothing then. Like, we have to measure, because that's how you create sustainability. So many times I hear, I'm not getting enough leads, or like if I had more leads, if the marketing would work, and if I had more opportunities. You know how you create more opportunities? You track what's coming in, what's going out, how many cold calls do I need to make, how many phone calls do I, you know, the outbound text messages, whatever marketing channel you're using. If you're door knocking, how many doors do I need to knock on average before I get a deal in the door? I don't care what it is, but the measurement of all the different aspects of the business leads to sustainability. That's what I want for you to have. Here's the number one tip, that if you're just going to go out there and DIY it, get a bookkeeper who understands real estate investing. Get someone on your team that actually understands real estate and can hand you a set of books that they know are right. How many in here are doing creative types of deals? Is anyone doing creative types of deals? Those are probably some of the most complicated structures to put into a software. I don't know if you know that, but if you're trying to put that into some type of software or even a spreadsheet or whatever it might be, like for a creative type of deal, there's like 5 line items that you have to input into the software in order to get what you're really getting from that one deal. Like, that's why so many real estate investors, they say, I don't have the clarity in my numbers, because they really don't have someone that understands this. That's where I would say the number one thing you could do to start to get clarity is at least get a real estate investing bookkeeper. And we don't actually offer just bookkeeping by itself. Like, you have to have a CFO first, so that is not self-promotion. This is, though. But why would you have a fractional CFO? Take the headache off your plate of actually managing that person. That's where you don't have to learn the questions to ask. You show up, and that's where someone tells you, here's what we went over. Here's how we got it in place. Here's the bookkeeping structure, so you don't have to go in every day and to ask my accountant or that type of stuff and clean up everything. Here's another key question around clarity. I love this one. If you come and hear me at 8:30 on Sunday, I'm going to talk about this again a little bit more in depth. But why did you start your business? Isn't it funny that we all get into real estate investing, and I could probably ask this, and you can all give me different answers, but it all leads back to financial freedom, right? Right? That's what we all say, and that's different for each of us, of what that really means. But we lose sight of that. We lose sight of, what does financial freedom mean, and am I really getting what I want from it? Doing 25 deals a month does not get you any closer to financial freedom if you're spending 26 worth every month. So that's why you have to keep this in front of you. And what does that really mean for you? How much does that mean you need to bring home? How many in here still have a W-2 job? You're still working a W-2. How much would you need to replace the W-2 and not work your W-2 anymore? That is a great place to start. Then from there, okay, what do I really want from my business? What if it's $10,000 a month would get me out of my W-2? What would $20,000 a month do? Like, a lot of us just don't give ourselves realistic goals of bringing money home to actually make a difference in our own life. some of that's mindset too. That could be that we feel bad about bringing money home, or that we were taught that, hey, if you get rich, you know, those rich people, they're like Mr. Potter and, you know, like what? It's a Wonderful Life. You know, that's all of them. That's like, that's where a lot of people have different hang-ups, but I want you to focus on what do you really want? Some of the clients we've worked with, this to them meant they wanted to give to charity, and they wanted to give, and they like always wanted to, but honestly, the there was one guy, I met him, and he was like $70,000 in the hole when I met him. And instead of giving to charity, it's like people should have been giving to him, you know, to support his business on life support. And that's where it's like a lot of people get into real estate, but they don't keep this in front of them. You got to have this question in front of you at all times, and are you making sure you're getting what you really want from the business? I like saying it like this. If you're playing the money game, make sure you're playing your money game. It's very easy now, especially in this day and age of social media, to go on social media and see what everyone else is doing. Or for a schmuck like me to post on there, we were doing 25 deals a month, right? And that sounds really cool, but nobody tells behind the scenes that they were spending 26 worth in on social media, do they? The real story, the real behind the scenes. That's where I don't want you focused on how many deals you can do based on what someone tells you, but on how many deals that support you, support your family, support your children, your grandchildren, whatever it is you want from it. So play your game, not someone else's. A lot of us are playing someone else's game. I've got a good illustration here. That's my daughter, Eleanor. Last year, I take this illustration, too, from the book Crucial Conversations. I read a lot. It's a great book. Chapter 10 changed my life because it's called Retaking Your Pen. And they say in that book that everyone's born with their pen in their hand. That's your self-worth, metaphorically speaking, in this book. And you're writing your own story, especially from ages 0 to 4, right? Like, you don't care. We do not care. Going through this with my daughter, she really did not care what she asked and when and where and who it was. Didn't matter if it was the president or if it was someone just down the side of the street. It was like, but we get a little bit older though, right? And then we care a lot. Well, how are they acting? How do I fit in? I just saw this literally last year for the first time, like, where it clicked that my daughter is going through this. She had a dress-up day at school. We live in Florida, so it was Tacky Tourist Monday at her school. So she's got all the little stuff laid out the night before. She's got a little camera, a little fanny pack, a little hat. She is super excited. Monday morning, she gets up, which usually it's a struggle to get up, but she was like, nope, get all that stuff on. I want to get to school. I want to have this dress-up day. She's got all of her stuff on. We get in the car. She's like, Dad, take me to school. We get in the car, I'm driving her, and she's just chatting me up, having the time of my life. Like, this is great. Glad she's having a great day. But 5 minutes from school, though, she gets really quiet. I'm like, Eleanor, what's going through your head right now? And she said, Dad, do you really think it's Tacky Tourist Day? Like, should I take this stuff off? What if they laugh at me? And I was like, oh, they've got your pen, girl. These other snotty-nosed little six-year-olds have your pen and writing your story for you. You know, and I, of course, right then and there, I was like, I've been there. The dress-up party, that's not really a dress-up party. And so, like, in telling her and giving her those types of stories, she went in, she had a great day. But, like, how many of us do that in our real estate business? You come to an event, or you go to a mastermind, or you see on Facebook, social media, all these deals that everyone else is doing, I should be doing that. And we give up our pen again. Even though you took a chance on yourself to start real estate investing, you took on a chance on yourself to be here. You took a big chance on being in this room, hoping you'd learn something. I want to challenge you a little bit to be like, hey, you took back your pen to be here. Why not invest in yourself one more time to say, how much do I really need to bring home? How many deals does that equate to? What do I really want, too? So if that's what I need, how much do I really want? If you come on Saturday, I'm diving into that pretty deep. So there you go. That's that one. So why a fractional CFO? Because also a fractional CFO helps you focus on those financial goals throughout the lifetime so you don't end up like we did at 25 deals a month spending 26 worth. This is like a built-in accountability partner if you have someone like that on the team. Second, confidence. To think like a CEO, you need cash confidence. And I'm not just talking about my bank account's big today. Woohoo! It's more like, where is my money and where is it going? Do you know the three most important numbers an owner needs to know? Someone shout out what you think the three most important numbers you think you need to know in your business. Anyone? Have a guess. Expenses was one. What was that back here? Income and break even. Yeah, those are some good answers. I try and make it as simple as humanly possible. What do you make, spend, and keep? People make it so complicated in the financial world. That's why they're ripping you off. They're making it like you need to know all the profit and loss, the balance sheet, and you do. But that comes with time. But if you have one rental property, right? I don't care if you have one rental property or 1,000 rentals, or if you're flipping or whatever. Those are the three core numbers that you should know on, at least as an owner on a monthly basis. I'm not saying that there's more numbers to know. But as an owner, this is where you should know what you make, spend, and keep. Because a lot of people don't just have a good system for that. That's why, as well, if you want cash confidence, installing a system like Profit First. That's what Profit First is really all about. I'll give you the teaser here, because Profit First is all about the practical side is the envelope method. Has anyone heard of the envelope method of, like, you know, Dave Ramsey's made that popular, whether you love him or hate him, this room, that could be a toss-up. And it's like, that's where a lot of people just aren't intentional with their money. They don't tell every dollar where to go. That's what Profit First is all about. You know all those books you've read? Has everyone in here read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Has anyone not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? You have not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad? That's usually required reading, you know, when you come to a real estate conference. So I'll make sure I send you a copy of it. You tried? There you go. I didn't get into it. Most people, so that was about 95% of the room has read that book. And he says in there a million times in that book, like, pay yourself first. Pay yourself first. Make sure you're paying yourself. And he even tells stories about how he paid himself above other bills. But not that I condone that. But that's where we also hear, has anyone read The Richest Man in Babylon? That's a great one, too. A portion of all I have is mine to keep. There's a key concept from that book. How about The Seven Habits? Stephen Covey, that's a great one. How about one of the habits there is put first things first? How about in a for-profit business? Is it wrong to put profit first in a for-profit business? Do you have a business if you aren't profitable? That's where that mindset is, the mindset behind Profit First. The way that Profit First puts it is in a formula. We all love our formula, right, as real estate investors. It's sales minus profit equals expenses, where a lot of people say it's sales minus expenses equals profit, meaning I make a sale, I pay everyone else and their mother, and hopefully I have some money sometime and some profit. They put profit last. I'll write a parody book in the future called Profit Last from all the stories I have of that. But sales minus profit equals expenses is the profit first mindset. How does this help you as an owner? Profit first, the practical side, like I said, is the envelope method. So you literally set up different bank accounts and just name your money. And people are always like, what? That seems so simple, and like there has to be more to it. No, it has to be simple, number one, because this is a system built for entrepreneurs, not for accountants and bookkeeping nerds like I am. It's like that's where you as a business owner need to know exactly where your money's going. And that's where you have to set up different accounts. I'll give you the first three, because if you don't attend, I'm actually going through the whole Profit First system on Sunday. But I'll give you the first three accounts. I call them the golden trio of bank accounts. You know why? Because I love Harry Potter, Star Wars, all the big epic saga movies. I'm into all that. You know, they've got the three main heroes, right? Luke, Han, Leia, Harry, Ron, Hermione, making sure good wins in the end. You need three main heroes making sure you're winning as a business owner, making sure you're winning now and in the future. So here's the first three bank accounts I would open up to help you keep more money. Profit, owner's compensation, and owner's taxes. You know why? Profit is your want number, what I talked about in clarity. Owner's compensation is what you need, like paying yourself on a consistent basis. And then the taxes, peace of mind account. If you're going to pay taxes because you're doing a lot of active income type stuff, then you better make sure you save throughout the year and from the deals, so that way when it's tax time, you're like, oh, shoot, I got to do like four deals right now just to cover that tax bill. That will give you clarity and cash confidence. Where is my money going? That's where I want to at least give you that, and why a book like that can literally help you become a better steward of the finances and build a business that you really want. So why a fractional CFO? If you are like, there's no way I want to do that, that's where a fractional CFO would come in to help you implement that and make sure you actually have it in place. Here's some real things that I've seen from Profit First and getting clarity around cash. Because I don't want it to just be me speaking up here about what I've you know, like what I've done or the real estate world that I've come from. One of the clients we saw did this, set up the bank accounts, got some clarity on their cash, and took their first guilt-free weekend trip, like where they took money out of their profit account and just didn't feel bad about it. Because they're like, I've got money in different accounts. I can take this out to have a fun weekend trip. Well, some people, if you've been in real estate, you know in one deal you can do lots of money. Like especially if you're in the flip world or you get into commercial or any type like that. One of the clients moved to Portugal with their profit money, and they didn't touch the rest of their system. I'm like, more power to you. That's one of the most extreme ones. One of the ones I got on, this was so cool. This actually wasn't a client number three. This one was, I spoke at a group 2 years ago. I came back a year later and spoke at the same group. One of the guys in there had implemented Profit First on his own and told me we had a horrible quarter where I was supposed to have like three closings and they all got pushed back to the, because that never happens, right, in the real estate world. So all these closings got pushed back, and he said literally because I had built up reserves in the first three quarters, I was able to withstand that horrible pushback from all those properties and like float my business and be able to then, once they closed, refill all the coffers again. Like, I love hearing that type of stuff, where this does not have to be complicated. This one, I literally just interviewed some clients where they said, woke up 2 weeks ago, Taylor Swift was in Miami, we live near there, we bought the tickets for our family, and went there. And you know, it's like, that was a bonding experience, because her daughter's like a huge Swiftie, so just to see her face light up, I'm like, that's why we got into the business, right? Was to have these types of experiences. Traveled for 3 weeks in an RV. I'll tell you that one if you come back on Sunday. Then gave more in 1 year than they'd lost previously. That's a very special story to me, where I'll tell the full story on Sunday as well too. But this client came in, lost a lot of money, and then last year was able to give more than he lost the first year that I had met him. And I'm like, this is why. That's why I'm really doing it. You know why? Because I want you to fulfill whatever reason you were put on this earth. I want you to help other people if you're supposed to do it, if you're supposed to make a lot of money and change your family tree. You know why we don't ever escape the rat race or go from that little circle, you know, in the rat race, like in Robert Kiyosaki's game, onto the fun track? Because no one teaches us what to do with the money to be able to cross over to the fun track. A big part of it is having good habits with your money, no matter how many deals you're doing right now. Does that make sense? That's really how, that is the ultimate secret. You know what? I'll distill it down even further. Don't spend everything you make. Wow. It's like, that's how you have the business. And I know it's so simple, but a lot of people are out there busting their butt, but then we forget why we're busting our butts. It's literally to have that cash to do stuff like this. So I'm just encouraging you that these are just a handful. Actually, there was a group of four owners of a real estate company. It was a husband-wife duo, and all four of them were owners of a business, and they literally had never made more than $80,000 net when we started talking. And they're like, we can't live off of this. Like, we might have to close the business. This last year, they did the same amount of deals that they had done. It was about 50 flips they were doing in a year, and this year they're going to net seven figures. You know why? With the same amount of deals, because they learned to play the cash game of, like, knowing where their money is going. That's why I'm like, if you can get it now, wherever you are on your journey, you can scale into being more profitable instead of saying, oh, shoot, I'm at seven figures now and I have like 1.2 going out the door. I don't want you getting there. So here, shameless plug, I'm speaking Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on Profit First if you want to come there as well too and get the full Profit First system in place. The last one, CEO confidence. How to actually establish yourself and feel like a business owner. It's probably the number one thing I hear when people get clarity on their money is that they feel like a business owner. How am I doing on time, too? Am I doing okay? I lost the guy that I was supposed to do. 105, so I have like 9 minutes left, I think. Is this okay? Are we doing okay in here? Okay, still engaged? Cool. Just want to make sure. Do you see yourself as a real estate investor or as a business owner? If you do read my book, one of the biggest feedbacks I get in there is I have a column, real estate investor versus business owner. And like for leads, it's like they get leads, but they don't track, you know. And on the business owner side, you track how many and you see what your return is. It's like really understanding that you don't just need the top of the funnel, like just leads coming in, but you need to track them. Or you make money, but you're also keeping it as well. There's a huge difference between just seeing yourself as a hustler, a real estate investor, and an actual business owner. How many people buy and hold in here? I love buying and holding. How many people are also flipping, or you do wholesale deals? Have a few as well too. I will say that if you are flipping, the end goal usually is to buy and hold, right? For a lot of us, is to buy and hold those properties. But if you're flipping and doing the active investing, a lot of people don't have even the room or margin to pay themselves and buy the rentals. That's why point number two is so important, knowing where your cash is. Because if you don't know where the cash is, usually those flips eat it up, or your rental repairs too. I'm talking all about that on Sunday. So do you see yourself as a real estate investor or as a business owner? You know what the real difference is? Working in your business versus on your business all the time. Are you just grinding and hustling, doing the deals, or are you taking time to think about the business? When I say this, how many have heard of or read Traction, the EOS system? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's literally an operating system for the business. What does that even mean? It tells you how to structure meetings. And if you start to hire people, like, how do I create a job description? How do I make sure they're in the right seat? All that type of stuff, like building out actual organizational charts, things like that. I will say, though, even when I was a baby business, when Simple CFO was just being born, I had one virtual assistant and myself, and I forced him every week with me for 1 hour a week to what EOS calls a level 10 type meeting, where we didn't talk about what was going on right then, but more of like, how do we make this better? How do we make sure that, okay, are we really getting what we want from the business? Are we building the business that we're wanting here? Like, what are the big decisions we need to make? Is there anything? Are we steering the ship the wrong way? Are we bringing on the wrong type of clients? I would say, for as a real estate investor, if you just carve out 1 hour a week to not just be in it and taking calls, but you literally put it on your calendar and hold yourself to it, and you say, how can I make my business better? You know what the magic is of being a business owner and really solving the right problems? If you remember what I was saying, we're problem solvers. To solve the right problems, you ask the right questions. If you're not giving yourself any margin right now in your time to ask yourself better questions, how are you going to get better answers in a better business? So there you go. But a lot of people do not have that in place. I hope that's where I want to encourage you to, at least that would be one takeaway here. Block off an hour. I would block off, honestly, if you can. What is today, Friday? Block off Monday for half the day at least and be like, I need to just download everything that I got from last week, and what's the one or two things that I'm going to implement? If you just did that, that would be well worth your ticket here. If you just thought about it. We don't like to think, though, do we? A lot of us. In this room, you probably do. But if you have gone outside in the world at all lately, like, I think there's a lack of critical thinking. And this is where, if you want to set yourself apart as a business owner and build what you want to, take some time to build that into your calendar. Here's the core four financial KPIs. If you can't see it because it's too tiny, if you're going to track what you make, spend, and keep from a cash perspective, I would also track from the numbers perspective your revenue, your gross profit, your net profit, and cash. What am I making top line? What's my gross profit, which really comes into play if you're flipping? The net profit, like what's after I pay everyone on the team? And then cash. Cash is different than profit because a CPA tells you, here, you made this much last year, and you look at your bank account, you're like, but I have like 10 bucks in there. Where did all that profit go? That's where knowing the difference, where profit is a theory, cash is a fact. Profit is just a number there to see, am I on the right track and am I trending to be healthy? But where's my actual cash? Because that tells me where I am. That tells me what I can invest in, what I can't invest in. So that's why I'm very adamant on those four. then an action system to actually take action on the right things in your business. If you're going to put a system in place like Profit First or a system in place to know those four key numbers in your business, then a system to say, am I on track, off track, or is this like starting to veer off track? That's something we do with people, but I would highly recommend getting a sheet like this to be able to say, coming back from this event, if I'm figuring out my numbers, what are the things I need to work on first? It helps you with prioritization too. So why a fractional CFO? Help the did you get that? I saw you. Nope. One more time. Do it. One more time. Make sure I'm still on time. I got like 3 minutes left. All good? So why a fractional CFO? Help the owner feel like an owner. You need to run the business by the numbers, put more money in your pocket, and predict the future. So that's really what we're trying to do. If you're like, you know what? I don't want to do any of this. Let me just reach out. That's what we're here for. The other thing is it's cost effective because a lot of people think they're out of reach. If you're making at least 100K a year gross profit, like top line, that's when I would start to reach out, at least to us because we've got the different programs. It's like if you just got this would be well worth the cost of coming to the whole thing. Read this book. This is my number one business book of all time, and I literally wrote a business book. Like, I love this book. The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. If you want to, it is like 47 chapters, literally of like the issues that owners face, but he doesn't give you the answers. He gives you great questions to ask. That's why I love this book, because I can pick this up at any time and be like, what am I facing and what questions should I be asking myself? I'm telling you right now, that'll just help you think better like a CEO. So here you go. When should I look into it? I would say at least when you're making money. At least 100K in gross profit or that top line. And then if you're feeling like I make money but feel broke and I have no desire to put all the pieces together and be the financial quarterback of the team, that's when you can reach out as well too. Let me see if I can, that probably just lasered someone. But this is why I do this type of thing. This was one of the guys that was I was talking about where he did like the 80K with 50 deals and now is doing seven figures. It's things like this of why I keep doing what I'm doing. I really want to help you as a business owner be a better business owner. So whether or not this is relevant to you from the fractional CFO point of view, I know there were some nuggets here today that if you just take back, implement some of the bank accounts, read The Road Less Stupid. Like if you just take one thing from the presentation today, you can become a better business owner. Because what we're doing is we're leading the team in the numbers. We're implementing Profit First for you. And then we build you a custom dashboard to let you help you track all that stuff that you have going on in your business. And we're making sure you actually get the profit that you want. And if you go there, if you've already scanned this, you might have scanned it at my table. But this gives you my Profit First book. Gives you a Profit First cheat sheet. I'm like trying to make it as simple as possible because no one is teaching how to make sure you're keeping more of what you're making. You can also go simplecfo.com/Oria. It will send you that. If you want to book a call with our team, that's on the second page, but that's only if you think that would be a good fit. But no matter what, if the one thing you did from this whole meeting was go back and set up bank accounts and just not spend everything you make and got into good habits with your money, come back to me next year when I'm here, do a few more deals and see if you're going to be more profitable from each deal you do if you just manage the cash and play and know you're playing the game of money. Thank you very much. Do they do Q&A here or anything? If not, then I think you have a break until like 2 p.m. then. So thank you for stopping by. Yes, ma'am? Yeah. Yeah, there's two things I would say for if you're saying, how do I track all the numbers and the finances? Number one, even if you're getting into it, a bookkeeper might be cheaper than even a monthly subscription to like a QuickBooks or something. Like some of those people can come in and like set it up and like do a spreadsheet for you if you're just getting into it. Or you could do QuickBooks Online. Like that's the elephant in the room. Like that's the big one. That's the one that you would scale into if you're wanting to scale. There's also, I think it's Wave, or Waze, not Waze. Waze is like the GPS thing, right? I think it's Wave. That one's free until you get to a certain point. But if you do scale out of it, then you'd have to export the data into another software down the road. But that's like more of a free financial accounting software. I always say that QuickBooks and things like that, like that's the CRM of your money. Like Damon Remy's got REI BlackBook, which we used back in the day, doing 25 deals a month, so I highly recommend his software. But if you're tracking that stuff, track your money. Like, you need to follow up with your money, just like you follow up with sellers. It's like, where did my money go? So just a plug for, there you go, getting a financial software to help you as well, too. Any other questions that anyone else has that I can help with? Hopefully this was helpful. Thank you for coming. If you didn't get lunch, come and see me. Maybe we could work something out. Like, want to make sure you get fed something. Thank you. Thank you.